opportunity to review them. All right. Are there any issues that need to be brought up? And if not, do I have a motion?
A second time. I'll make a motion to pass the meeting minutes from August 20th.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
And ayes have it. If she can go ahead and speak about what we're going to be considering.
Yes, consideration and action of preliminary plat for approximately 82.37 acres of land situated in the McArthur Survey, Abstract 910, the W. Franklin Survey, Abstract Number 468, the M.M. Edwards Survey, Abstract 1955, and the J.B. Wynn Survey, Abstract 1637, in the extraterritorial jurisdiction of the City of Willow Park, Parker County, Texas.
I believe we have some comments.
Yes.
Okay. Please, come on up and introduce yourself.
Commissioner Fowler, commissioners, staff, residents, my name is Brian Holland. I'm with Swarberg Development Company, with offices at 8214 Westchester Drive in Dallas, Texas. I'm going to talk to you a little bit. I've got a presentation here, so I'm flying blind until I get that up.
No.
These IT schools are a little lacking, I think.
I wasn't going to say.
Can you
see well enough now?
I can. So to advance, you want me to just let you know when I'm ready?
Yeah, just say Rose hit it.
Okay, Rose. Again, Brian Holland with Swarberg Development Company. Thanks for coming tonight. I'm going to give you some information on the project we're proposing for your approval of the plat tonight. It's called the Bluffs at Willow Park. And next slide, please.
We're doing it.
I thought Jared thought it was a touch screen.
I can only use like that's a different one. We'll get there, guys. Sorry.
So your chair's gonna run the slideshow on TV. It's multifaceted.
What teamwork looks like.
Okay, again, Brian Holland, Swarberg Development Company. I'm going to hear kind of the topics we're going to touch on tonight. I'll tell you a little bit about who we are. I'm going to show you some representative projects. We'll touch on the subject property. Probably everybody here knows exactly where it is, but so I won't spend a lot of time on that. Talk about the land use, the screening plan, some of the virtues as we see them, and then show you some of the representative product, talk a little bit about square footage and price point. Next slide. So, as a corporate company, we are a privately owned residential development company. All we do is single-family residential development. We've been doing it for about 40 years in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. So, we've worked in probably 30 municipalities across the area. We've got 22 active projects and not one active project in the same town. So, it tells you how many municipalities we're working in and working with. And we've completed 97 projects to date, and we've put about 7,000 lots on the ground. Here's some representative projects that we've done to date. I've given you kind of some that are similar in size and scope to what we're talking about tonight. This one's up in Corinth. If you all know where Corinth is, just south of Denton, a high growth area, just north of Louisville. This is a project we call Oak Park Village. It's about 56 gross acres, and then we have about 7.5 acres of open space. We did a PD on that project with 310 lots, with a mixture of 30-foot lots, 50-foot lots, and 60-foot lots. So you're getting a cottage product to hit that, more affordable house price, and then 50s and 60s, similar to what we're talking about on our project today. Next slide, please. Again, this one's up in Corinth. This one's developed and sold out, but it's a good representation. Again, it's 50 acres with about 35.8 acres of single family. There was some multifamily that we ended up selling off actually sold it back to the city. They have a city center down there. You can see kind of the bottom left where they wanted high intense use. We don't have any of that use on this project, but this one has a mixture of 65, or 40s, 50s, 60s, and 80s. So, whereas the previous project had 30-foot lots, those cottage lots, these ones have cottage lots that are 40-foot. But then we're also, on our project, this is the same line of 40s, 50s, 60s, and 80s that we're proposing here today. And then these two are two of our kind of flagship projects that have sold out recently. The next two over in the city of Rockwall. And we've been developing Rockwall for probably the last 20 to 25 years. Two big master plan communities, but not going to say big for the area. They're fairly good size, both 400 acres. This one has 918 lots, and the next one, Breezy Hill, has the same, about the same size. But again, a mixture of lot sizes from 40s, 50s, 60s on up into some 10,000 square foot lots, which is like 100 foot, 80 and 100 foot lots. Our home builders in that, some of the names you probably recognize from around here, Trees, Grand, Chesmar. Windsor Homes is our home building company, and they build in about, I'd say they're total building about 20% of the subdivisions that we put on the ground. They build a really nice product, and they would be involved in the project we're developing here in Willow Park. Next slide, please. Oh, that Antown Square. So if you know where Anna is, just north of McKinney and Melissa, a booming high growth suburb that we kind of got involved in 2008. We bought about 600 acres, carried it through the Great Recession, and then came out of that flying high. And that's a true mixed-use development. It's about 600 acres. It's got anything. It's got retail, commercial. It's got an elementary school. It's got a bunch of multifamily in it on the highway there, on Highway 5. But then, about the almost 2,000 single-family lots as well. Scoreboard Company develops, our construction. We pride ourselves on entry features, on the hardscape, on doing things right, and making sure that you're building a sustainable neighborhood, putting the beauty into it that you need to make it last for the long term. These are just some examples of some of the projects. And we talk about Stone Creek Estates. That's in the upper left. You'll see the kind of the hardscape monumentation. Breezy Hill number 5, we also talked about. So you just kind of give you an example of what you expect to see when you're talking about your entry features and some of your hardscape throughout the project. All right, let's talk a little bit about the subject property. I think everybody pretty much knows exactly where it is, but we are basically within the sphere of Crown Road. Crown Road borders us on the north, kind of northwest, and then circles around where the bridge on Crown is, and then we pretty much have everything from that east over to Squaw. I think it's Squaw Creek. What's the name of your subdivision? Is it Squaw?
You don't know that?
We talked about it last night. Okay. Yeah. So that's and you can see where it is. We're talking JD Tolles Extension, the city center there. You see where that's going to be coming across. Future Kingsgate Park. We'll talk a little bit about that. And so to orient yourself, you know where the existing Kingsgate Park is in the south of Willow Park. This is just another slide that kind of shows the location and the strength of the surrounding land uses. This is the site plan in a colored version. A lot of you have probably seen the black and white version of the preliminary plat, but we wanted to color it up so you could actually see where the different lot sizes are located within the community. Again, the size of the project is about 82.4 acres gross. 20.2 acres of that is open space. So you got a net, land of about 62.4 acres, plus or minus 62.2 acres. There are a total of 284 lots that we're proposing. A combination of the cottage homes, which are on the 40-foot lot, which is the orange color. Do you see there, right where the phase one is indented? And then you got 111 patio, we're calling patio homes. Those are the 50-foot lots. 50 by 120 minimum. And again, these are minimum set size lots. So if you look at the preliminary plat, a lot of those cottage homes, the cottage lots, they are mostly 40-foot wide, but some of them go much deeper. We've got a bunch of them that are in the 145 to 150 range. So for a 40-foot lot, that's a deep product. That's a deep lot. I know it doesn't seem very big to those that live on an acre, but in the development world, usually when you're developing a 40-foot lot, you're doing that on about 98-foot depth, 98 to maybe 110-foot depth. And so the nice thing about here, because the way this tiers, we're able to get some extra depth on those lots. So every one of those is over 5,000 square feet on the 40s, on our smallest product. And then again, the patio homes are in yellow. A big chunk of those is probably the predominant mix of lot size within this project. And we've got 111 patio homes that we're showing in yellow. And then kind of your perimeter areas, the salmon colored are on a good chunk in the perimeter, back up to the Future Park, back up to Crown Road and the north side of the project. And then and a good chunk of them also where we're showing phase two there. And so we kind of trying to transition this to where some of the larger, more expensive homes and lots are on the west or on the east side. I'm sorry, and we transition to our smaller lots as we get closer to the park and to that area to the west. So again, 86 of those 60s and 17 what we're calling estate lots. Those are 80 by minimum 130, and those are what you see in pink. And what we tried to do with those is line those up adjacent to our neighbors that have the larger lots. So I mean, they're not 1 acre, but that's a pretty good sized lot. Those lots will probably sell themselves, just a lot, in the close to the $200,000 range. So when you throw
just
a house on
there. Just
the
lot, did you say?
Just the lot, yes ma'am. So, you know, by the time you put a house on there, you're talking starting in the 800s and probably upwards of 1.2 to 1.5 million. This is the comprehensive land use plan, and so what I want to talk a little bit about this is our compatibility with the published comprehensive land use plan that the city has. This property is designated as medium density residential. The property is classified that, which is allows for up to between four and six dwelling units per acre. I think right now on the gross we're at about 4.5. On the net we're about 4.5 on our density. And on the gross, we're about 3.4. Preston is my in-house engineer here, so he's here to help keep my brain in check. So we're on the low end of the medium density residential slide. And so we're really, if you look at your land, your comp plan, your low density single family is up to 4 units per acre. So we're kind of right on, we straddle that low density, medium density designation. So we definitely fall and comply with the comp plan. This just talks a little bit about what we're anticipating as far as screening on the project. Everything you see in yellow, I guess it's yellow, maybe ochre, whatever you want to call that, it would be 6-foot board fence, typical you would see from your residential builders they build on the backside as far as their privacy fencing. In green, we're looking at putting 6-foot decorative metal fence along the park, so all those lots that back up to the park will have a transparent fence back there so they can see back there, and that gives us kind of an open feel. And then where you see red, we talked a little bit about this last night during our neighborhood meeting, that's going to be kind of a combination. I don't have a zoomed in plan, I wish I did, but right there's a 20-foot open space easement. There's a force main that comes through there from the city's sanitary sewer. And so we're gonna take advantage of that, and we're gonna put on the south side of that 20-foot easement a 4-foot decorative metal fence, and then the builders will still get to put on the other side of the 20-foot easement their builder fencing. And so, and then in between, you'll have a walking trail, a biking trail that will be able to take people from the east side of the project to the west side of the project down to the park, and I'll show you some of the walking trails that we're talking about. These are some examples of the fencing you can expect. Open space and parkland dedication. So about 20.2 acres of the total project, 25%, is open space. Now granted, on the far west, all that is floodplain. So it's about 17 to 18 acres of that area is floodplain, but it can be dedicated for the city park and extension of King's Gate. If you see further south, that's kind of the master plan for that whole area down there. You've got some that's already been dedicated and improved. The walking trails, I think the next piece is required for their PD to be dedicated. And so this is just the final piece of that entire puzzle. And so the timing on that, you have to be determined when we would dedicate it, when the city would approve it. And so we're getting into those discussions with the Parks Department. Some of that will be ironed out as we get into the developer agreement for the annexation when we agree to annex the property, which we are going to do. But you'll see our intent is to install, where you see the red, about 6,700 square foot or linear foot of trail, which is over a mile, 5,280 square feet. So we significantly, increase the length of the walking trail. But we also will have some playgrounds, some other things. But this can take the residents, from the east side to the west side. We'll have a pedestrian gate where folks that live in the area to our east can get in there and traverse that walking trail. It'll be a public path that they can get down to the park, to the playground, across the future extension of Tolles Road and get down into the commercial district on a bike or walking. So it's going to become kind of a walkable opportunity. We talked about this a little bit on our team's call last night, but I want to point out a couple of things. I think that with this project, you're going to see an improved accessibility and circulation for the surrounding area. I know that Crown Road is an issue and comes up quite a bit. It's a thorn in some folks' side I've talked to. But our intent is to work with the county and the city, where it shows a number 2 up there, and build a three-way intersection there. It will have some sort of, traffic. Some device, probably stop signs. I don't think it warrants a light, but you'll have probably a three-way stop at that location. We haven't gotten into the design and engineering and brought in the county yet, but that's what we've been talking to Gretchen, the city, and about to this point. The other thing I want to point out is that the city of Willow Park has asked us with this plat to dedicate right away for the future extension and widening and improvement of Crown Road. That's a county road, so they didn't necessarily have to do that, but they've been working with their county partners. That's what they've asked us to do, and we've agreed to that. So what you see in yellow there is property that we're dedicating to get you to the final ultimate width of Crown Road that you'll need, so that when the county or the city, whoever, or even working together, they go out and improve that roadway, and the right-of-way is there and dedicated. I know the bridge there is an issue and a concern for a lot of people. I don't have an answer on the bridge other than to say that we, during the construction process, we're going to try real hard to make sure that we bring our construction traffic in through a different means. I know that's a concern that bridge could fail. There's some other things that I've heard. So we'll work with the city, we'll work with the city staff and make sure that we're trying to accommodate that and make sure that there's no issues there. The blue is, again, the extension of JD Tolles. It's a 60-foot right-of-way that we're going to, at least currently, and this is not approved by the City Council yet, but in our developer agreement, we're talking about constructing it from the north side within our project, that 60-foot right-of-way, and bringing it all the way down to basically right before you cross the creek. We're working with our neighbor to the south, Will Bannister, about getting right-of-way to be able to do that, and keep it on its final plat anyway. Is that not correct in that assumption?
Yeah.
So that's, I think the final plat's already been approved, so that right of way is slated to be dedicated when he files his final plat. So, but our intent is to construct from our north side in phase one all the way to the bridge crossing. And then our goal is to work with the city to put in our developer agreement. They've offered to pay for the extension, they've got it in their comprehensive plan. to pay for the extension. We're trying to put some timeframes on there because that is a pretty critical, important piece to the whole puzzle, making sure that our traffic can traverse to the south, get over into the city center area. There is a secondary point of access where they could go south and Meadow Place Drive going down through the existing subdivision, but we think it sure is a lot cleaner and better for everybody if that J.D. Cole extension is put in place sooner rather than later. So we're asking for an 18-month commitment time frame from the city to do that. That kind of all came about. It's backtracking. We've been talking about this for 4 or 6 months, something like that. And we originally came and had asked for a public improvement district on this project. The mayor and the council met. They didn't want to do that, understandably, for just a residential project. And so that kind of threw us in a tailspin from a finance standpoint because we were planning on all these improvements. So through negotiations, through talking with the city, I think this is the second best opportunity. So we build a lot of the infrastructure. The city's going to be a good partner and help us get that bridge across and the extension to J.D. Cole. The last thing I want to point out on this slide is that where we're showing the number 3, and I know this is important to a lot of people that live to the east of this project and south, is that is what we're showing is an access point that connects to, what is that street, Preston, help me out?
Royal View Lane,
thank you. And so for connectivity purposes, we are showing a connection to Royal View Lane, but our intent, and in talking with staff who is supportive of this, is to put a vehicular a gate there, a limited service, limited access gate that's only serviceable by the emergency services district. So if there's a fire, if there's a police officer, if it's an emergency, then the fire department, police department, whoever can come up, there will be an electronic Knox box on that gate. They can push their button, push whatever they have in their trucks, and that'll open the gate and they can get it out. But our residents will not have access to that gate. It will be closed 99% of the time unless there's an emergency, but we felt that was an important give there. And not only because we think it's important to have that emergency location at that place, but also because we were trying to be sensitive to our surrounding neighbors. We know that they don't want our people trafficking through their subdivision. The streets there need some improvements, and just adding additional vehicular traffic, just didn't make sense. So, in working with the city, talking to the fire department, everybody's comfortable with this position. I talked a little bit about the product. I talked about it a little bit earlier, but this, when we talk cottage product, again, remember this is the smallest lots that we have. They're 40-foot lots. The depth of those, again, is 120 minimum, 125 minimum to about 150 in depth. Our starting square footage on these houses will be about 1,800 square feet, and those are going up to 2,800 square feet. Now, the nice thing about the depth, having extra depth on those lots, is we can probably get a lot of single-story homes, which is pretty critical and important to drawing a second demographic. This demographic is what we're selling these lots for. It brings in a lot of young professionals. It'll bring in a lot of folks that can't afford maybe your 60s and your 80-foot lots. Your double income families are making $100,000 to $120,000 combined income. And so they'll be able to qualify for this home product. Even today at $420,000, most of us are old enough to where that seems crazy as your kind of your entry level product in this market. But that's where we are. I mean, our lot prices, with everything that you have put into these things, it's hard to get a house down under $400,000 today, new home construction. So this is our opportunity to try to meet that demand. As you get into single story homes, that allows you to also bring in your empty nesters and some of your seniors that don't want to climb stairs, but they want a small lot. They want to be able to pretty much lock and leave. I had a grandchild a year ago, and so she's an option. I live in a zero lot line project up in Colleyville, detached just like this. And it's beautiful. The HOA takes care of our exterior maintenance. We lock the door. We can go away for a week at a time and know that things are taken care of on the outside. So that's what this product kind of goes for, is that transitional buyer that doesn't want the big lots, doesn't want lots, doesn't want to buy a lot lawnmower, motor lot. And so it's a really unique. We're seeing it's a huge demand right now across the metro. Then these are the patio homes. I say patio homes, they're really 50-foot lot, and with the depth of our backyard, they're not going to quite be a patio. A true definition of patio home is, you think about Allen, Texas, if anybody's in, but you see somebody, you walk out your back door, you might have a pool, and then your fence is right there. Or you know, basically, you could reach out, and you got 10-foot, and your fence is there. These aren't going to be quite like that. So they will have, because of the depth of these lots, they're going to have some pretty good backyards. So, but the we'll call it patio homes, that's kind of fits the description a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But those will be starting out around 2,000 square foot, going on up over 3,000 square foot, and then the price point you'll see there, probably starting in the 520s, and then on up into the 700s. And we kind of lumped the next two categories together, but they are somewhat different. The city 60s and the 80s, I think the 60s will probably be your top two bands there, between 2,500 and 2,800. You might get a little bit larger home. You might get something in the 3,000s. But, and then the price point in the 620 to 760. The 60 really is just a little bit wider, obviously, than a 50, 10-foot wider. But it allows for a third-car garage. So on a 50-foot lot, you can't get a third-car garage. And so what those 60s do is allow anybody that's in that market that fine wants a third-car garage, they'll navigate to either the 60s or the 80s. And then the 80s will be our price leader. In fact, there's only, I think, 17 of those in there. We may sell those separately to just custom builders or to a custom builder. We haven't really determined the exit strategy on those yet. But again, those are going to be your high price. Those will probably be in at least 180, probably $200,000 square foot for those, $200,000 for those lots. That's in the second phase, so who knows? In 3 to 5 years, they could even be more than that. But that'll push up into the 800s into over a million. Again, this is just a picture to show you the different locations of the various product types. So just kind of just touch on this. I touched on a lot of this while I was talking, but some of our kind of a summary of our key elements. This is an ETJ, as Tony mentioned. So we're going to voluntarily annex this into the city. We're working with the city right now. We'll be submitting our developer agreement, I think, tomorrow. And then we've already submitted one, so it's kind of gone back and forth, but we cleaned it up, took out the PID at their request, and we're putting some language in there about the bridge, and so hopefully this will be going to the council sometime in late February. But we are voluntarily doing that. This is in the ETJ, so I don't know if you know Texas state statutes regarding property rights, but the state stripped the cities of a lot of their powers recently, mm-hmm. Over the last couple of years, and so even to the point where you see, and you've probably seen that a lot around here, where people are de-annexing out of existing city ETJs. And so that's our intent. We're in the city's ETJ. Our intent is to be a good neighbor. We want to bring this project in, but we want to build a high-quality, high-value development that meets our needs, meets the city's needs. And so we're going to voluntarily do that. We're also going to, as I said, talk to you about the developer agreement. And that's where we can get in and talk, some, negotiate some of these building standards, setbacks, what kind of masonry do we want on the houses. I think we're looking at least 85%, if not more, on masonry. But you talk about some garage features. I mean, there's just things where we can go back and forth with staff, come up with a really quality product, put some of those things in the developer agreement so that the city has enforceability on that. Again, building standards is not something a city per state law can regulate unless the developer voluntarily enters into a developer agreement giving them that power. That's whether we're in the ETJ or the city limits, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. So the state, in all their infinite wisdom, stripped the cities of that power a couple years ago. So again, varying lot sizes, and I think that we find that as a value to a project. I think homogenous, all 70s or all 100-foot lots is boring, and I don't think you get a diverse clientele. I don't think you get a diverse product sizes and styles. And so I think by creating different size lots and different product styles, you get a really diverse, unique project as opposed to just a homogenous, all looking the same. We talked about traffic. I'm not going to go through all that. You can read that. But improved traffic patterns and circulation, we feel this, you know, kind of ticks all the boxes in that regard. We are going to dedicate the 18 acres to the city at no cost for future Kingsgate Park expansion. Timing of that's yet to be determined. We're going to meet with Tony and her parks department and kind of figure out all the details on that. Again, we talked about the construction of the hike and bike trail, 6,700 square feet, but probably minimum, I'm guessing, because we made. But that is in addition to having sidewalks along every public street on both sides of the public street. So that's one thing I get to at the end there. But we're doing this would be a fully developed at full city standards, concrete streets, curb and gutter, sanitary sewer, underground storm drain system, all built to the most current standards and dedicated to the city. And it'll be dedicated to the city with a 2-year contractor warranty. So last thing I'll point out is that we will have a mandatory homeowners association on this project. And we use a company called Neighborhood Management Associates. They're out of Dallas, but they manage probably, 10,000 residential units throughout Dallas that were. And we do that on all of our projects. We will maintain declarant rights. We'll be the declarant on the project until we sell our last lot. Eventually, that will be turned over to the residents, but that's quite a ways down the road. I don't think I have a slide on this, but I want to talk a little bit about the timing and how this thing progresses, because I get that question a lot. So our goal is to get the entitlements completed within the next 3 to 6 months. Close on the property. We don't own the property yet. We are under contract with a group out of, I think, Weatherford is kind of their home base, who own the property today. They're working with us to get this all entitled so that we can close on it, because we don't speculate on that. We need to make sure our entitlements are in place. So 3 to 6 months, get your engineering done, start construction. That takes about 15 months from the time we close and get our engineering plans approved to get the first phase lots on the ground. So 15 months plus 6 months, or about 2 years, maybe a little over 2 years before your first lots hit the ground from today. And then home building will start on that first phase. If how many lots, Preston, do you know we have in the first phase?
Somewhere around 150.
Preston left his brain at home too. So we have about 150 lots in phase one. That's about probably a 3-year build out on that. With the different lot sizes, that helps our velocity because we have different product styles, and then so you got different buyer segments coming for to buy different size lots. So that'll help our velocity. But let's say 3 years to sell out. About 2 years into that sellout period, we'll start phase two. We'll start construction of phase two again. That kind of overlaps, and then that will deliver about the same time that we're selling out phase one, and then phase two will start, and that'll take about 3 years to sell out it as well. So all in all, you're probably looking at about a 6-year to 8-year horizon from start to construction to finish, start to finish to build this project out, including all the rooftops. So I think that's it. Is that the last slide? Okay. Thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Can you go ahead and read the brief?
Please.
Applicant and developer Scoreberg Company, along with the property owner Brothers in Christ Properties, LLC, have proposed a subdivision plat of approximately 82.37 acres, titled The Bluffs at Willow Park, located north of the reserves of Trinity Subdivision, and south-southeast of Crown Road, in the McArthur Survey, Abstract 910, the W. Franklin Survey, Abstract Number 640-468, the M.M. Edwards Survey, Abstract 195, and the J.P. Wynn Survey, Abstract 1637. This parcel is within the city's extraterritorial jurisdiction and therefore required to be submitted to the city for plat approval. The revised preliminary plat presented includes 284 residential lots and 8 private open spaces and 17-acre park. City staff reviewed the original submitted plat, provided corrections. The developer's responses are attached with the revised preliminary plat, but at the time of this report, staff was not fully reviewed the revision. It should be noted that upon the advice of staff, the developer increased several of their lot sizes from 4,800 square feet to 5,000 square feet and reduced their number of residential lots. For comparison, the reserves of Trinity has a minimum lot size of 5,000 square feet with front yard setbacks of 15 feet, side yard setbacks of 5 feet, and rear yard setbacks of 20 feet. Similar in comparison is Willow Park's other new subdivision of Country Hollow, approved by City Council in 2023, and currently under construction, which has front yard setbacks of 20 feet, side yard setbacks of 5 feet, and rear yard setbacks of 20 feet. City staff recommends acceptance of preliminary plat with all corrections addressed satisfactorily. I would like to also tell commissioners that what we are voting on this evening is based on the subdivision ordinance only. We are not basing this on any zoning at all. There was no discussion as far as lot size is concerned or anything, although Mr. Holland has given us a wealth of information that's very exciting. But that is not what we're voting on today. This is just the preliminary plat. The preliminary plat is in our ETJ, so we have to, by law, review it, or by our ordinance, review it, and local government. The subdivision ordinance actually requests that we review the streets, the drainage, and the access to utilities. So when staff has reviewed this, that is what they are reviewing. The city attorney has wanted me to remind you that as long as the form and the content of the plat meet section 10.02.095 of the subdivision ordinance, the Planning and Zoning Commission does not have the discretion to deny the plat. Meeting minimum lot sizes in the ETJ is not a requirement. They have to meet. Excuse me. Carry on.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So I have a whole stack of papers right here. People that would like to speak publicly, braver than I am. And they are in no order. I am going to call them up. I do apologize in advance if I butcher the name. Grew up in Granbury, but against me. I would ask that you keep it down to 3 minutes per person. Be respectful. We've got some kind gentlemen up there. It's been a long time since we've had to use one of them, but I was here the last time we did. So without further ado, I'm going to call your name if you don't mind stepping up and speaking your comments. We'll get this thing moving. I've got, is this Marsh? Scared the papers right out of his hands.
Yeah, he did.
Right, and when you come up, this is the first one to get the demo for everybody. State your name and your address, and then you are on the phone.
Mark Farshausen, 70 Crown Road. I and others moved to Willow Park because the city had a restriction for homes that have 1 acre. That's gone. It was peaceful. But we have allowed these developments to come in, and now we have gunshots. We report them to the police, and they tell us, yes, we know about them, but nothing's done. We obviously have roadway issues, as we now know, for a fact, that cars go 80 to 100 miles per hour on our roads. You can't control the speeds on Crown Point Road or the highway access, the side access road along the highway. What do you think is going to happen when there's 280-plus homes suddenly start slamming those roads? It took a 100-plus mile-per-hour car and a death to get interest on Crown Road with the city council. But I understand you have a political agenda, and all that is ever evaluated is the tax revenue. You shouldn't create a political career where you brought suffering to those that you served. Put a definition in your running for office advertisement, I will improve your city. How? For me, it's simple. We need to say no. I understand we can't stop the progress, but we need to say no. We need to go back to our old standards that the city of Willow Park that brought the people here, the nice people that live here. Seriously, right there where they're wanting, we have gunshots back there. Police can't find it. That's not a good thing to have bullets flying around in the air and not know anything about it. We've had mega issues on the international raceway that we built called Crown Road. And now I just heard we're going to build the same thing over on Crown Point into Crown Road. It's going to be a nightmare. I hope you take that into consideration and put yourself living next to it. Thank you.
All right. Dustin?
My name is Dustin Lee. Address 321 Squaw Creek Road. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I just want to say that I'm opposed to this. Coincidentally, I grew up in a community that had a racetrack and a turf farm, and I saw that racetrack close and develop. So I've been in a community that has developed. So I know development, that you can't stop it, but you can kind of control what the aesthetic of it is. When my wife and I moved here, we looked all around the Fort Worth area, and we chose to move here because of the aesthetic of this community. We like the aesthetic of the larger lots the homes that sat on, you know, a little more space for your neighbor, and we like that. That's why we moved it. So I just want to go on record saying that I'm opposed to this. I know that if this is approved, the developer has say as to what they're building. I like more. So if they do develop, I would like to see 70, 80 lot houses. You know, I mean, if that's, you know, what we can't, that's all that can be done, you know, that's fine. But I would like to go back to the 1 acre lots, half acre lots, quarter acre lots, bigger homes, more space. So I just want to go on record and say I oppose this, and thanks for the time.
Thank you.
This is Marty?
Yeah.
So Marty Brooks, I live at 500 Verde Road, so I'm going to be on the northeast corner of this proposed park, 20 acres. And so, so I remind y'all that 3.5 years ago, this was voted down. The same thing. So we wanted to go to R5, and we're still at R1. My biggest concern is the drainage. I have some lateral lines that run right into this property. I don't know how far my lateral lines go. They're talking about building retaining walls and so forth. That's just my major concern, is the drainage. That's it.
Thank you, Mark. Tamara?
Tamara,
sorry.
Okay, no problem. I'm Tamara Dean. My husband, Rusty, and I live at 600 Royal View Court. So the whole north side of our property is going to be on the south side up on the bluff, and then all of our south of the property, west, is going to be next to it. So we have our own place. I do want to thank those of you that were on the panel three years ago. I spoke then against it only for the density. We know development's going to happen. It's just the density. And of course, our concern is up on top of the bluff. And I do want to thank Mr. Holland for being so nice yesterday and having a virtual meeting with us on Teams. He answered a lot of questions, and we really appreciate it. Looks like it's going to be a really good development. If there was just a way that there weren't so many houses on top. Our main concern is, number one, all the houses. But number two, the he, as he explained a while ago, and he explained last night, he was going to have all the traffic go the Crown Roadway or downhill there, and not have anybody exiting on Royal View or Squaw Creek or Verde or whatever the rest of the other roads are. We're on Royal View. But they have to, I understand, build an entry and exit there for the fire and police, which is great. However, if there's going to be an HOA in this area, and if I was to buy a home in there and could see right across the street from me, these people are going and getting on Ranch House Road really quickly, and they're making me go west and south to get on the highway, I would go to my HOA and say, the road's already built there, open the gate. And Mr. Holland explained that, you know, once they build it, they don't have control of it afterward, after that. So Mr. Holland said it could be up to the city to open that gate. And like I said, if I was in that subdivision, that's what I would want. I can see that happening pretty fast, and the city saying, oh, sure, yeah, we'll open the gate. So that way we have two ways going into development. I don't know how many houses are on the top, but at least times two cars. And we know, respectfully, it's not you guys, but you know, just the city, we know that our roads are not maintained. It's, World View is now bombed out at where Kingsgate meets there. And on Squaw Creek, when you turn right to go around the Ranch House Road, there's potholes this big. It has been, we've been out here 31 years. So our concern is the number of the houses and the traffic. Mm-hmm. And we will. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. Sorry about the name.
Oh, no problem.
Catherine.
Good evening. My name is Catherine. I'm from Willow View. I was born and raised here in Willow Park. My parents moved out here about 40 years ago, built a home. They were not first-time home buyers, like most of the neighbors out here. I then came back to Willow Park, loved this town so much, so that I could raise my children here. I will start by saying, having reviewed the proposed plat on tonight's agenda, I would be remiss if I failed to ensure certain facts are considered. First, because of a previous attempt to develop this property, part of it, approximately 20 acres, was annexed into the city. No action was taken to specify the zoning for that property. It is therefore zoned R1 single family district in accordance with the city code, newly annexed areas. That portion of the property is sufficient cause to deny this plat. The remainder of the subject property is in Willow Park ETJ. As such, and when annexed, it too would be zoned R1. None of the lots shown on this plat meet the minimum requirement for R1 lot area width or depth. Recommending approval of a plat that is not consistent with its base zoning could be a method to circumvent proper consideration for development. I am hopeful that the Willow Park Planning and Zoning Committee is not in favor of devious methods that do not support the best interests of Willow Park citizens. I am therefore asking that you deny this plat application. Other conditions supporting this request are as follows. The property abuts directly with other property currently zoned as R1. There should be some form of buffer zone between existing developed R1 property and creation of high density residential property. Number two, a topographic map of this area will reveal that at least two of the proposed streets will have dangerously steep inclines. The incline would rival Lombard Street in San Francisco without the benefit of mitigating curves. Number three, the cited 17 acres of green space appears to be easily accessible only by a limited number of residents. Four, it might be notable that the green space does provide a very nice buffer between the proposed development and only selected residents. The size of the green space is most likely dictated by floodplain requirements adjacent to the Clear Fork of the Trinity River. The street layout will create additional and excessive traffic on current roads, Rural View, Kingsgate, and Squaw Creek, suffering from lack of proper city maintenance. Six, the second access point for the proposed development requires construction of new roads. Having no base or foundation for the proposed new roads, the duration to construct these roads will be extensive. Have you considered the impact to the Willowwood, Squaw Creek, Crown Road neighbors dealing with the transportation of material to support this development? Loads of concrete, lumber, brick, shingles, and sod would further damage those roads. We once had a development that was planned that we were told that an entrance would not be open to Squaw Creek and Sandbass. As you can see now, Country Place Estates, that is not correct. We do not wish to have through traffic to Rural View. Other problems with this plat may exist. These are the concerns identified during a brief review. Again, please do not recommend this plat for approval.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, as she mentioned, here we are again, 3.5 years later, we're talking about the same piece of property that's 100 yards or 100 feet from my house. Now, one of the big things, then as now, is the traffic, which appreciate the developer mitigating it coming onto Royal View by putting the gate on there. But listening to everybody else, seeing what's going on, the plat doesn't fit the vibe of the town, of what we're living with right now. As you're asking me on a 1 acre house, a 1 acre lot with an 1800 square foot house, I'm gonna be staring at a $1 million, 3,500 square foot monstrosity, and they're overlooking my front yard from 100 feet away plus. That doesn't include my neighbor who's gonna back immediately up to it, and I'm sure he's gonna say something later. I had something all written out, but I'm completely winging it now. But yeah, it's just a vibe. This is not what Willow Park, I'm not from here. I moved down here for a job. into Texas 10 years ago. This reminds me of home, be a little more hilly, but it just wasn't Fort Worth. It wasn't Dallas. It wasn't McKinney, Allen, whatever. I understand that there's going to be progress, and I also understand that developers have some sort of innate fetish of pretty much concreting every square inch of the state of Texas. But here we are. I say no on the plat because it doesn't match what our vibe is on the west side of this town.
Ms. Marcy?
Good evening, y'all. It's been a while. I fought this high density development back in 2016 when it was Murdaugh Moyetti and Crown Valley Estates and Jim Martin. Then I fought it again in 2021. So the citation made for the preliminary plat. Yes, if this whole acreage was ETJ, it might apply, but it's not. You have 20 acres that were annexed into the city and is currently today zoned as R1. So this entire preliminary plat has to be taken all or none. You can't just piecemeal it out unless they want to come back in another month with another preliminary plat. But I am here to fight not only for Squaw Creek Estates, but for the people in Crown Valley also, because this is just too dang many houses, too many. Jim Martin's just not going to stop, I guess. Again, the emergency gate, that's a great excuse. It's what I was told when Jerry Stockton came in and put in Meadow Place, and y'all weren't supposed to have access to Sam Bass. And look how that turned out. So, my neighborhood will oppose any zoning change from R1 as incompatible. My neighborhood will oppose any ingress egress that opens up to Crown Road, which this will do. The city needs to update our comp plan. It is extremely outdated and old, and we were supposed to take up that back in 2017, and I'm not sure why we stopped. Willow Park has starter homes. We have rental homes. We have apartments. We have larger, older homes. I moved to Willow Park because my kids were in private school and because our church moved west. I bought an older home. I'm on 1.75 acres on Squaw Creek Road. The Beldine development plants, they should have come through P&Z and didn't. I don't think our P&Z is meeting enough. You guys, you're our first line of defense. And I see value in this body. And again, going back to technicalities, 20.31 acres next to my neighborhood is currently R1. You cannot approve a preliminary plat that puts 4 to 5 homes per acre. That goes against the current zoning. So please deny this preliminary plat. You can't table it. You must take action to deny it. Thank y'all.
Ty Ragsdale, 1237 Crown Valley. Thank you for having me here tonight. Thank you for allowing this opportunity to speak. And thank you guys for the history lesson. I didn't realize that this had been such an ongoing issue. My concerns that I just wanted to address with you guys briefly, the traffic on the Crown Road. I know the first preliminary plat showed 2 exits on the Crown. Brian corrected me last night. Now the current one shows 1. It's still a concern with the amount of homes in the proposed area. I mean, you're talking, someone said it last night on the team's call, you've got 280 homes, at least 2 vehicles per home. So now you've got almost 600 vehicles. And you only have 2 outlets, and one of them is a county maintained road that we don't know whether it's going to be improved or not. Plus the very treacherous bridge that exists over the river. So that was one of the concerns, traffic density. With the presentation earlier, Brian went over 171 cottage homes with 40-foot width, 71 cottage homes, 111 patio homes. One thing that I noticed in your presentation, every one of the neighborhoods that you outlined and the ones I found on Scoreburg's website earlier today had inholdings of green spaces. This doesn't. It's just the park at the edge and then the bluff that's inconstructible. So maybe that might be an option for improvement, lowering the density, making this something similar to some of the other key developments that you have in Rockwell, in Corinth. It just, to borrow your phrase, it looks a little boring for a attractive new development in our community. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you,
sir.
All right.
Stephen?
So there's two of us on that card, but we'll only take 3 minutes. Stephen Weiss, Ed Hatfield, we're both with the Crown Valley HOA. I'm the president, he's the vice president. We live over in Crown Valley, Crown Valley Estates. So our issues, you know, obviously we don't live in Willow Park. Our issue is not with what you guys are doing here. Our issues is what it goes on off-site from the facility. One of our thoughts is that in order for or we'd like to see before this even starts that the JD Toll Road is finished, so that can be the primary access point for construction and contractors. You know, we are very aware of the issues with Crown Road and the Crown Bridge. We've done some research. It's minimally acceptable for the traffic that goes across it now. And if you try and run 50-ton cement trucks across it, the bridge will eventually fail. There's already been a couple of fatalities there and some other accidents that have happened. The bridge and that road up to it are in pretty poor shape. Access limitation from Crown Road, they kind of address it in the conversation, but there will be more traffic coming on the Crown Road. You guys have just done the massive improvement on Crown Road. Obviously, I had to put the speed bumps in because it became a racetrack, I think, after that. The other part of Crown Road is still the decrepit part of the county road that it's been for a very long time. And I hope that the city, the developer, everybody gets together to work with the county to include that as part of the improvement side of this. We also talked to the developer today. They've been kind enough to get back in contact with us today after we attended the call last night. And we'd like to see a more substantial wall along the side that faces Crown Road. Because if you look across Crown Road, our subdivision has the brick fence around it, something more substantial, something similar to that. And shrink the net density. So the gross density, net density, the gross density includes the 20 acres that are in the floodplain. And we'd like to see it shrunk from a net density of 4.4 to somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.5 back to where it truly is within that lower range of density. And I know it took most of your time too, Ed, so.
Okay, real quick, I just want to reemphasize the need for during the entire construction of the plat, that no access on Crown Road be allowed for any construction traffic. That road that cannot handle it, the bridge cannot handle it. The bridge is already out of date. It hasn't been inspected in over 6 years, and it's not accommodating the traffic that it is now. It becomes a huge liability, not only for the developer, but for the city. We have a fatality traffic accident there. The city's going to be liable. So we're telling you this now, and we'll be back here to tell you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's the average lot size in Crown Valley?
It's about a quarter of an acre. There's bigger ones. There's only a very few that are smaller than that on the golf course side. Anything away from the golf course side is
closer to half an acre. Golf course size somewhere between 0.25 and 0.3 acres.
And that's developed all the way up, basically where the driving range is for the.
The old driving range was all the way down to Norman Road.
Yeah.
It's
there's not a throughway through that, right? You have to come out the ground.
Correct. They close that gate. It's a fire gate only, or fire or police gate only. This guy's an ex-fire guy from California. You can talk more about that if you want more details on that. So
has the HOA talked about opening that up?
No, it's in the ordinance. City of Weatherford deemed that an emergency access gate only, like you're looking at your gate number 3 here. That road that extends beyond the gate itself is not designed for through traffic. It's only designed for emergency traffic. For us to ask for that gate to be opened, it would have to be approved by the city, by the homeowners association, with a supermajority vote, and that entire road would have to be improved at the cost of what City of Weatherford doing it. They have no desire to do that right now because the through traffic is not great enough in volume.
Nice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Teresa.
Speed reading, sorry. No pressure. Ranch House Road, Teresa Palmer. I've been here 33 years. I'm here tonight to stand up for our friends and neighbors. We have big problems on our hands. I could start by talking about the problem with the 20 acres on the east side of the plat that are already annexed from the last time the city tried to develop here. I could talk about the problem with the 20 acres already being zoned R1. As you know, R1 requires 40,000 square foot lot at minimum. What you're looking at here is R5. I also understand there's a problem annexing the remaining 60 acres and changing the total zoning to R5 due to the base zoning rules. This is a problem. I could also discuss the lack of buffer zone between the existing R1 and proposed R5, especially on the east side, while leaving 17 acres of green space between this development and city with a city council member R1 zone residents. I could talk about our residents' concerns about streets, flooding, water, and sewer access, or more importantly, the complex lack of the traffic study. We all know adding 284 homes is going to drive incredible traffic. This will directly impact our lives and our property values. These are big problems, but these are your problems to figure out. The real problem I'm here to address tonight is how the city has once again tried to slip one under the radar and deny our citizens a seat at the decision table. The city quietly added this agenda without any form of proactive mass communication. The only way we found out was through our growing network of friends and neighbors who are fed up with the city's lack of transparency. We just learned the city has been working with a developer 4 to 6 months now, and this is the first we've heard of it. Less than 72 hours over federal holiday, no less. And how you're supposed to approve tonight with zero involvement from our citizens. This is hands down the biggest problem we face in the city. But you have an opportunity to make it right tonight. I publicly recommend that you postpone approve until the citizens' input are captured. Changes to the proposed development must be driven by the community, not the city in a vacuum. This deserves far more than a rubber stamp. I urge you to remember your oath to your friends and your neighbors tonight. Zoning exists to preserve the rights of existing citizens, not desires of external developers, and the city owner's internal agenda. I have a duty to be the voice of our citizens. You have a duty to conduct business in the best interest of the residents. You cannot do that without giving them a voice. Our citizens deserve a seat at the table. Your friends and your neighbors are counting on you. Postpone, postpone, postpone. Thanks, Dave.
That does conclude all the forms that we had submitted in a timely manner. I do appreciate that. We are now going to close the public comments. All right. So, I'm going to reread it. It's been a few minutes. So, the purpose of our meeting tonight is to be considered an act upon consideration and action preliminary plat for approximately 2.37 acres of land situated in the McCarver Survey Abstract 910 of the West Franklin Survey Abstract.
number 468, the MMM Edward Survey, abstract 955, 1955, and the J.D. Wind Survey, abstract 1637, and the extraterritorial jurisdiction of the city of Willow Park, Parker County, Texas.
Chairman, may I comment, please? The 21 acres that Ms. Galley is referring to, I see the minutes that she has here. Staff was not aware of that parcel being, whether that was annexed or not. We did not find that, that whether that was actually annexed into the city or not. So we probably should table this.
I would agree with that. So that's
so that we can research that.
Yeah, we need to sort that out. So if that is the case,
I don't think you can table. There's a 30-minute clock on this, correct?
We can grant a waiver for the time to research this.
Okay. Yeah. We appreciate that. Yes, based on that information of this being automatically brought in as an R1, a portion of it. We did not have the necessary information to make a decision on this. So, do you have any comments? So, motion to table?
I'll make a motion to table this.
All in favor? And the ayes have it. So, we will get some more information on this based off of the information that was provided. Determination of its proper zoning, and then from there we will bring this back to the meeting. Before I close it out, I do want to thank everybody's attendance and their passion for this, and their, well, just say behavior. I've seen it here. I've been here for 10 years. We've had the cops called. It's not very pretty. Actually, I want to say the first one was over. No, it was the it was the sewage treatment plant. So again, this is why we do this. We appreciate your passion on this. I do want to confirm with what we've got you here. Notification and how we send that out so that everybody is aware of that.
Can I speak to that?
Yes, you can.
Hi. For those of you who don't know me, I feel like I'm getting back here. My name is Rose Hoffman, and I'm the Director of Communications for the city. If you go to our website, right below the section that says News and Announcement, there's a little button that says Subscribe. You can sign up to subscribe and get emails every time we post anything on the website. David, I see you shaking your head. Is it not working for you?
The agenda's not posted on, it's not posted on the
Everyone tries to communicate with the city. You guys never communicate.
David, I've asked you personally on Facebook 7 times if I can call you, and every time you ignore it.
My mom communicates.
I've tried calling your mother 3 times, too. As a matter of fact, I just tried calling her today.
This is very unprofessional.
Yes. Let me backtrack, please.
If you guys
would like to subscribe on the website to get our alerts, and if you have any trouble with that, please reach out to me. I'd be happy to help anyone who wants to get connected to our communications channels. Whether you're in the city or not, please reach out to me. I would love to help you guys.
This is our website.
Sure you
would.
All right. At the end of the day, we're all citizens too. We live here. Right? Yeah. We're approachable people, most of us. So please talk to us. Our information's out there. You can voice these concerns because, you know, a lot of times I served 2 years on city council. No one showed up. No one really cared. Mm-hmm. So, KJ, I do remember you.
Am I no one?
But look, sometimes these decisions have to be made in the vacuum because guess who we don't hear from? Constituents. Not that we're politicians, we're just on the board that we're doing, right? So, please don't brand us politicians that we have some agenda in the metropolis of Willow Park because we don't. We want to make sure that everybody lives a prosperous, happy life. But I will tell you, are you going to deny the deans from selling their ranch? Are you going to deny people from... No, you're not, because that's not the American dream. Can't make money ranching anymore. So this is the world we live in. So we happily take your inputs, and we'll try to make the best decision we can. But it has to be informed, unless it's going to be done in the back.
All right. Thank you. Do appreciate it. Yes.
Feel free to respond to you. So the all of the information, the agenda, has to be posted 72 hours prior to the meeting.
That's state regulation, correct?
Yes, it was posted by 6 p.m., 6:30 p.m., it was the latest, on Friday evening for a Tuesday meeting. So actually a day earlier than it needed to be.
Okay.
So we usually post it on almost always for Friday afternoon by 5 before staff leaves for a Tuesday meeting. So I can help anybody that we did. Our website has changed. It's willowparktx.gov. And so I can tell you, if you're not sure of how to get to it and where to find that information, I can tell you it has the packet. We are not required by the state to actually post the agenda packet in transparency. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm behind my mouth. In transparency, we do. So all that information that's on there in the packet, that's not required that we post that, just the agenda items. That is on there for you to peruse the weekend prior to the meeting, for a Tuesday meeting. If you have any questions at all, I am here on Monday typically. Except for yesterday, because it was a holiday. But if you left me a voicemail, I've checked voicemails. So send me an email, I'm checking emails.
So by still just subscribe, you would have gotten that notification?
Yes, Rose said that if you do that, then yes, that should pop something up.
You get that notification?
If not, then you can check the website, and I can tell you how to do that. And it's on here, I'm showing on the screen here, and it tells you meeting minutes and from all of our meetings. And actually, for council, you'll see the video link as well.
While we're just talking about this,
yes, ma'am.
I think I signed up for every. I think I was the first person to sign up for every bit of communication that's out there. Are you suggesting that the agenda for this meeting was posted anywhere on the website except the agenda page, which is three pages down?
The website is posted.
Yeah, did you send out an email notice?
So if our system is working correctly, and I'm getting the vibe that maybe it's not.
Oh, I didn't get an email.
But if our system is working correctly, it should send out a notification email if you signed up to get emails on that particular topic. Yes, ma'am.
So
okay.
Real quick, these sound like great sidebar conversations. We would like to close this meeting. We would like to close this meeting. Do appreciate everybody's attendance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Two minutes.